Good morning.
Good morning. Chris here.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Caulfield here. We're in two different locations.
Okay. Well, how was your week, and how is everybody?
I think we're all fine. Week was very busy.
Yep.
I've been doing the center of influence exercises, and we actually have, I'd say, a pretty important meeting. As soon as we hang up here, we're hopping in a car and going into Manhattan headquarters, meeting the head of a pretty big accounting firm. So I'm excited about that,
yeah.
I'll tell you.
That's probably the most important development of the week.
Yeah, for sure. Big one, yeah. And I'll let you know how it goes. I think I've got it pretty well planned out in my head, but, you never know until you get there. But he was receptive to meeting, so that's great. And he actually sent me a couple of emails last night asking me questions at, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. So we were going back and forth on the phone last night, just, with texting and emails. So that's,
All right, so walk me through how this went.
How we got it?
Yep, what you did.
All right, so this is one who is the father-in-law of a client. Son-in-law of a client. And I pushed to meet with him for a couple of years, easy. Everybody's too busy. And then his father-in-law, who's a great guy, has a stroke, sadly. Still recovering from it. And so he was pressed into service with the family, taking care of his father-in-law's financial affairs, because his mother-in-law, the client's wife, really has nothing to do with any of this stuff. Classic. He always relied on the son-in-law, saying that the son-in-law had everything set up, but things weren't set up the right way with trusts, et cetera. So we were pressed into work. Kenny had at least 10 meetings at this guy's office helping the father-in-law. Helping the son-in-law take care of the father-in-law.
Yeah.
So then we did the supernova, and I met with him a couple of times. We went to lunch just to get to know each other better.
What? Who?
Bob Mayer.
You went to lunch with him?
Yeah.
Yes, I went to lunch with him to get to know him a little bit better. And so where we are now is Kenny has finished most of the work of getting ushers. That's the clients. Account set up the right way, and I emailed him and said, let's get together and make sure we have everything tucked in, and I want to talk to you. So that's where we're at. So today we're having lunch at 1 o'clock. We're going to first cover his father-in-law's financial situation a little bit more and probably tuck that in. There's business opportunity there, but that's really not on on the top of my list. And then we're going to talk a little bit about how now that he is a proxy for his son-in-law, how we deal with our clients with the 1242, how he's going to be involved with it because he's a proxy for his son-in-law now. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about also in our process. We act as the quarterback, and we'd like to know that everyone else on the client's team can be enthusiastically endorsed. And we're going to ask him about his business, what kind of business he has. He's a smart guy. He's going to start to pick up on, what we're talking about here. So that's where we're at. If you have any advice, share it, because we're 2 hours away from go.
All right, so he's a CPA, right?
Yep, very large firm.
All right, very large firm, CPA firm, and we want to know what his specialty is, what his minimum size client is, how many clients he works with. We want to profile him.
Yep.
Because we want to know if, in fact, truly, do we want to refer to him. So we're interviewing him. See, the thing to think about is we're interviewing him for a job. And is he the right guy for this job? Or what job? You know, maybe he's right for a different job. And maybe he won't be a center of influence. He'll just be a good client. You know, so we want to know if he wants to grow. Is there a value in bringing new business to his firm? You know, you want to see if you think he's ambitious. You know, is he a nice guy?
Yeah, I think he's a nice guy. We get along. I'm very optimistic about it, and I do want to speak out his ambition. I believe he is, but I'm not going to assume. Let him articulate it. I don't really know what his clientele is like. You know, what his size of his clients, what type of businesses they're in. Kenny's coming to the meeting for two reasons. One, he's done a phenomenal I think he's impressed with the hard work that Ken has put into, you know, with no remuneration financially. And also he has a son who's maybe a few years older than Kenny in the practice with him. So it's a good continuity play here too.
Yeah, good. Good. So he's
and I would also like at some point to have a meeting between, or maybe all four of us, but at the very least, a meeting between his son and Ken.
Right.
Which we're also doing with
a
supernova ring last.
Right. Remember, we had five steps to developing a new center of influence. So this guy's a perfect example. You don't have to do it exactly the way I recommend, but you want to cover what we cover, okay? So the first meeting is to determine if, in fact, he would make a good center of influence. So you're going to have two folders that you give to him today. One is his mini-me folder as a client, and you're going to hand him that with a two-hole punch, wrapped up in nice silver paper, and he's going to go, what's this? This is what we do for each and every client. He's going, really? So what he's saying is, wow, you guys are different. Then you hand him the two-hole punch, and he goes, wow, you guys have thought of everything, haven't you? And you go, wow, it worked. Okay, so that's the reaction you want him to have as a client. All right, so that's the first part, get the client thing established. Then you just turn to the subject of, would you like to work with us on a more regular basis, a more intimate basis, more team-like basis? What do you mean? Well, we have a program where we work with a limited number of advisors, and we work very hard to help them build their practice. And in return, they help us build ours.
You do that after you qualify him as to what type of clients he's looking for?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you first find out if he's interested. That's his ambition. You know, a lot of guys are too busy.
Right.
They don't. Especially senior partners, they've had enough. They're tired. They don't want to work anymore. So you truly want to know if you think this is a good idea or not. And he says, no, I'm not really that interested, but my son would be. Okay.
Yeah.
Now we got to make sure that the son and the father together have the interest and the ability to do what we want them to do, right? Are they willing to meet monthly? We're going to bring a referral to you as often as we can. Maybe it's even monthly. You know, is that the kind of relationship that you'd be interested in? Yes. Okay. This is who we're interested in. This, who are you interested in? What's your specialty? Tell us about your practice. You know, what's your ideal client look like? What's their size? What's your minimum? This is our ideal client. We only have 100. You know, we've limited our practice to less than 100. And this is our ideal client. We, you know, we like them. They trust us. They listen to us. They're not, you know, do-it-yourselfers. They're too busy. They need an advisor that they can trust, etc. And he's either going to say, this is great, we'd love to do this, or, you know, no, I'm not that interested. Now, yeah. The thing you got to do is test them as to whether they're interested. And so we'd like, and so you invite them to come and visit your office and meet the rest of the team. And that will indicate whether or not they're interested.
Yeah.
And then
you
set up.
Planning.
Yeah. So that's the script. You know, that's basically the plan. And, you know, don't expect, it's like hiring. You know, don't expect everybody is either going to be good at this or want to do it or, you know, you might not like them that truly that much that you want to be. I mean, these things should last for 30 years, these relationships. And there should be hundreds and hundreds of introductions made back and forth. And you explain that we're not interested in referrals, we're interested in introductions. You know, we want these people truly qualified when they come to see us. They need us. And we know that, you know, and I'd say to them, we know that you refer business. It's just a question of, you know, we'd like to work with you and refer business to you and do it on a regular basis rather than a one-off. Okay.
Well, that's the plan. I'm psyched. I can't wait to get started.
Yeah, it's a good. It'll be a good exercise.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys doing this. This is the key to the success of my program. You know, I can tell you all the answers, but if you won't do it, it doesn't do me any good. You know, I got to have you go out there and hit some tennis balls and play some matches, or I can't coach you, you know?
So, exactly. No, I know. Got to make mistakes, too.
Yeah. So it doesn't take many of these relationships. You know, people go, well, I'm going to have 24 centers of influence. No. You want six. And then you might have, you know, one on the farm team that you talk to quarterly. But these guys, you're going to really make a sincere effort to bring an introduction to them every month. And we talked about it, I think, before. You know, you can ask everybody that question. You don't have to just ask your clients. You can ask every person you meet this week. Oh, by the way, I'm kind of doing a survey. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? It makes for an interesting discussion, whether you're playing golf with somebody, and it's non-threatening, and it's not a solicitation. You're simply starting a conversation. Well, why? What are you doing? You know? Well, we're creating this kind of an Angie's List of the most respected advisors in business. You know, and that would be anybody from a realtor to a cardiologist to a CPA to attorneys. You know, we're going to get the best of the best of professionals.
Yeah, I like the Angie's List analogy. It's good.
Yeah, it's an Angie's List of professionals in our community.
Right.
And just say to them, can you imagine how valuable this list will be? You know, so you really can, you know, I used to limited to just asking your clients, but I figured it out the other day and said, my God, you can ask anybody that question.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Anybody, I mean, doesn't have to be a client, that's for sure. So, yeah, we were talking after last week's meeting about the Center of Influence and the CPAs and the enthusiastic endorsement, and it's actually, you know, we're not just prospecting for clients, we're prospecting for clients for our COIs who will then prospect for clients for us.
Brilliant. You get it. Yeah, that question is, what is your job when it comes to your center of influence? Your job is to bring a introduction to that meeting. That's your job every week, every month. And if you do it, great, you won. You did your job. And hopefully they do their job.
Yeah.
But you're doing your job. The only thing you can control is, are you doing your job? And to me, that was a huge breakthrough for me as a coach to get that, you know, to really understand that the only thing you guys can control is getting the introductions for your centers of influence. So you're constantly trying to put people together. And you know the great networkers out there, people you know that are enormously successful in the community, they're great networkers. And that's what they literally do, is put people together.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Can I ask you a question about today's audio?
Yeah.
It had to do with, I haven't fully developed my social networking question, but it has to do with boards and how some people say, oh, I've been on board for 10 years and I never got a single account from it. How does that, because I'm on board, you know, I'm on a couple of boards and I've been asked to be on other boards. So how do you transition or introduce the fact that you are, who you are while you're on a board? I mean, is there any generic approach or how do you actually do that? Or how have you seen others do it?
All right, so I think I explained in the video that your job is to give, as it is with the centers of influence. So you get on the board and your commitment is, you know, a 7-year commitment, a couple years getting to know the board members, a couple years being vice president, your 5th year, hopefully you can become president, and then you serve 2 more years. And then you're forever the past president of the organization. That process is hard work, but it will give you great credibility, and people will forever admire you and makes you more of a magnet so that they see you as a leader and they see you as competent. And so you want to demonstrate the skills that you use in running your practice. You want to demonstrate those in the social situation. So these are long-term experiences, giving back to community, helping others, and they see you as a generous, wonderful guy. So your job first is to make friends. Now, there's going to be people...
That I've done.
Yeah, so there's going to be people on the board you like more than other people. And there, where people... What typically people do is they go to the board meeting, they go home, they do the minimum. And so it just doesn't work. So in this case, what you have to do is identify those people on the board that you really like, and you then turn them into friends, and you have other interests with them. You have them over for, you have lunch with them, you have them over for dinner. You play golf with them, and they become friends. And once they become friends, they will become clients.
Okay.
Okay. Because you're going to ask them all about their business. You're going to ask them about their family. You're going to ask. And they're then going to turn around and ask you how to influence people, you know, Dale Carnegie. It's what you do is you ask other people about them, and you show an interest in them, and you help them. In return, they ask about you and your practice. Remember, the first thing you do is get them to like you. The second thing is to tell them why you're different. Once you talk about your practice, you focus on why am I different. So you don't spend much time on the things that are just the same as everybody else. You just talk about how you're different. Like other advisors that you're never quite sure when they're going to call, or they call and interrupt you, everything we do is by appointment, so we're very courteous.
Yep. No, I like it.
See, we call you once a month, so we're very consistent. You know, we're kind, courteous, wonderful people, and everything we're doing is in your best interest. So you always know exactly where you stand, and you never have to worry. We worry so you don't have to. We anticipate problems. We're not perfect, but because we're talking to you and reviewing your situation on a monthly basis, we're really on top of things. And we think our performance is better because of that. In fact, it is, by the way. You don't have positions that get out of control or have concentrated positions or have things that are just wrong, you know, because you're looking all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. I'm behind it, sure.
Yeah. So, you know, I talk to my advisors every month, and I'm always looking to create losses if I can, you know, do early tax swaps, as you know, and I'm always trying, you know, as a client to get my best performance, and they're doing the same thing. They're always trying to figure out, you know, do we have a too concentrated? Are we taking the right amount of risk? So I just think it's better performance because you're on top of things. You don't want to overtrade your account. But, you know, you've got so much to teach the client. You know, there's so much that they don't know that you know. You won't believe how in-depth you're going to get with each client. You know, you talk about risk management, the whole liability management. You know, the risk management and protection. How about protection management? That's the old insurance, everything to do with insurance. I mean, all those things take time and education, and we never have that when working with clients. So it really works. You're gonna love it, and clients are going to love it. And you're going to be referable. But remember, it's not the client's job to refer people to you because they haven't trained.
Yeah.
So, you know, the VIPSA in week 10 is very important. This is how, you know, I spent a lot of time with one guy I'm coaching. I'm coaching him for more than a year and a half now. And he was relying on his social prospecting as his sole means of bringing in business. And I said, "That's social prospecting is passive business, is passive marketing. Okay? It's not active marketing. Active marketing is centers of influence and the VIPSA process, when you're literally asking for introductions to people like themselves, once you've established value. So once you've established value in the mind of the client, that could be when they open the account, when they first open the account. That's when they're really excited about the relationship. So as soon as you've determined that there's value created in the mind of the client, you can train them on how to give you introductions. And look how much time we spent on training you on how to develop centers of influence. You've got to do the exact same thing for them.
I'll come and see.
All right? And so the VIPSA process is a brilliant process that works with every client. So, yes, you'd like every client to be a center of influence, but every client won't be, but they can refer 4 or 5 or 6 people to you every year. And we want introductions. We don't want referrals. So we are going to train them on how to do that. So did you go through the VIPSA and understand it? Any questions on it?
No, I understood it. It's not a question. It's just that, and I think you mentioned it early, they appear to be like step by steps, but they're really not. You use them when you need it, I would think. You know, parts of it as far as, well, even with developing a center of influence, I think we're probably going to cover a few more bases than would be in that multi-step process today, I guess. But it's a little bit more advanced relationship with the CPA, I think. To me, it was pretty self-evident.
Well, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to use it this week on a client. So remember, it's value, important, permission, suggestion, advice. So it's very similar to the advice model that we use when we're creating a niche. So we want to.
Yeah, Christopher just tried it actually yesterday or the day before on the advice side with us. One of the center of influences, or targeted center of influences, who's his father-in-law, retired Schlumberger's Bay exec. And, we're getting our feet wet with it, or he's getting his feet wet with it, so.
Good.
I'll be meeting with him in June when he comes out to visit. Maybe I'll get him on the phone prior to that, if possible.
Right. Great. Yeah, Schlumberger is clearly, obviously, a great niche. And the executive, depending on, what level you're working with, would have the capability of being great clients. So you're already qualified, but you still want to make sure that he understands, that what you want. So you asked him clearly, straightforward, ask him, we're thinking about building a practice around executives with Schlumberger. Do you think that's a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you've got to get him on board. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Right.
All right. If you were us, how would you go about it? Those are your two questions. And that should take care of the whole lunch or whatever you have. So is it a good idea? And if you were me, how would you go about it? And then shut up and let him do it. Or if he gets stuck, you can make suggestions. This is what we've done in other places. This is the way it seems to work best. Just give him other suggestions. Is there a place where they you meet with them regularly? Is there an opportunity for me to introduce myself and make a presentation?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Or would it be best just one-on-one introductions from you to us over a cup of coffee? Or lunches work better. And so by the time you're done with that meeting, you should have a plan of what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and how often you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to literally meet with him once a month. He should have a folder. You should have a folder. It should be a scheduled meeting. And the business of the meeting is your project. and getting and moving it forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you clearly want, you know, he's got to think this is a good idea and want to help you.
Right. Otherwise, it's a waste of time.
Yeah. By definition, a center of influence is somebody that likes you, trusts you, and will send you in referrals without you asking. So it has to be, otherwise they're just a prospect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a center of influence. Mm-hmm. All right. So you're doing great. So you've got a couple of centers of influence working, but now we've got to turn all our clients into salesmen for us. And that's how we do that with the VIPSA process. Value, important, permission, suggestion, advice. So make sure you go through it a couple of times or once a day for 5 days and then try it out on a client. And then what I'd like to do next week is actually role play it. Okay? So, you know, I'll role play it as the client. And you role play it as the financial advisor. And I'm happy to go through it, you know, a couple of times before we do that, but I want you to be prepared to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is one of the great skills. This is Bill Cates. He gets full credit for this. It's one of the great tools of our industry that is never used. And it's crazy because it worked. I've seen it work. My guy, one of my guys that I work with that is going to be in my new book, he uses it every day. And he says, Rob, I can get an introduction to anybody in my community. He said, you know, just because I give Supernova, people love me. They like what I do and value what it is that we do. And I can literally get an introduction to anybody, from anybody, because I've trained them all. And I said, that's amazing. His business has exploded. So this is a skill that we have to learn. All righty?
Sounds good.
Okay.
That's the assignment for next week. We will look forward to your meeting, and good luck. And just remember, we need to hit a lot of tennis balls before we're going to be world champions. So don't depend on one meeting to determine whether or not this process works. Let's say
yeah.
A bunch of and, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I can take for. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. We're going.
Talk to you next week.
I'll let you know.
Thank you, Rob. Take care.
Talk to you in a bit. Bye-bye.